And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Seven FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler here. Good to have you on a Friday, on a cold Friday. Temperature dropped like 40 degrees overnight. Winkler is not here today. I don't know where the hell he went, but he went. He took today off. He's supposed to have yesterday off too, but he just took today off. And that means the incredible, the award-winning Kevin Holden is with us today. He does not have a baseball jersey like he normally has. He just has the back turned. Oh man, you woke up late, didn't you? You just came in here with your Saturday morning look. Glasses on, hat on, T-shirt on. You're like me, baby.
This is, it's a Freems Friday, right?
So it
it's
is.
Like,
it is.
You know, that's how it's done. I think that's the dress code, right?
It is. Well, I saw that you guys last night, you and your lovely wife, were grilling out. I saw those pictures on Facebook about 9 o'clock last night. So it was a late night dinner for you. And
oh,
I was
yeah.
Holdy knows he's coming in here with me, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, we drift off, you know, we try to, because this is completely opposite from my normal time schedule, right? Like, normally I'm working until 11 o'clock. So what we try to do is, you know, alter things a little bit. So I'll try to get to bed. I was off yesterday from CBS 58. So, all right, let's get to bed, 10:30, 11, whatever. And then that turns into 11:30, it turns into midnight, 1 a.m. I ended up asleep on the couch. And then here you go.
Well, that's great. No. Because, okay, now TV sports, and you're the anchor at CBS 58. Is it 6 and 10 or 5 and 10?
5 and 10. 5 and 10. 6 o'clock we have Jeopardy.
Because I do watch all the channels. Because I'm one of these guys who will flip around every night. I'll see what you guys are doing, what everybody else is. I flip around because I want to get all the stuff. I mean, everybody's got something a little different.
Right.
Everybody's got something a little different to offer. So I forget who's got 4 o'clock, who's got 6 o'clock, who's got 9. I know you guys are at 9.
Yeah,
I catch the 9, but your sportscast at 9 are at like 9:45.
Yeah, it's an hour show now, and it's still at the end.
It is. Sports Zone.
Right.
But you do not do Monday through Friday. You do Sunday through Thursday?
It depends on the month. I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but you have a thing called a sweeps month, right? You've heard of the term sweeps months. They've been around forever, still going on.
Ratings, in other words.
Ratings, yeah. So they, you know, way back in the day, that's when you'd measure your audience and all that stuff. Anyway, enough of the inside stuff. When that happens, I'm supposed to be Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
February is one of those months, but yesterday was this weird exception because I'm working this weekend.
Okay. Now,
in Phoenix.
Oh, you're going to spring training
tomorrow.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll get to that in just a second.
For sure.
Now, it used to be this. The main sports guy, the sports director, the number one sports guy, worked Monday through Friday.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Monday through Friday, and then they'd have the weekend guy come in on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Now, then they realized, well, Sunday night's one of the most watched nights.
Yeah.
So we need to have our number one guys in there. So let's have them work Sunday through Thursday, and Friday nights, which is one of the lesser watch nights, we'll have the weekend guy, normally the Saturday, Sunday, work Friday, Saturday.
Right. That was, for me, that was a lot of my first several years here.
We
looked just like that. But here's what's happened. CBS has turned that back. CBS has gone back the other way, and it's because they're so successful on Friday. Blue Bloods.
Okay.
Great show.
Never watched it.
Huge show. Huge audience for that show. It has literally changed what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have gone back to the model where we value Friday night again.
Okay, because
in a different way.
I haven't watched Friday night TV since Dallas. And CBS 58 wasn't around when Dallas was here.
CBS 58 was showing Bowling for Dollars when Dallas was
around. Yeah, no, that went long. I mean, this was, I don't even, geez, in the late 70s, early 80s, I don't think CBS 58 wasn't around.
No,
because there was only 3 channels.
Right.
Because Fox had not yet arrived.
Yeah, they 58 was, I don't even think 58 was on the air. Literally.
No,
at
they
all.
Weren't. No,
not
no,
even
no.
as an independent.
Because there were 2 other channels that have been CBS in this town, 12 and 6.
Yeah. And 6
in my
was
lifetime.
Forever a CBS. And then if we're going into, you know, delving down the rabbit hole of TV, Fox got the contract for NFC games. So
yes.
Fox went to Channel 6 and said, you want to keep showing Packers
and
games.
That's the reason why they got it, because they wanted to show the Packers games.
The Packers are the reason why.
That was like 94 or 93.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so then CBS was looking for a home and it ended up on 58. But that's, you know, you can amaze your friends at trivia at the bar with that. It's the Packers are the reason why Channel 6 is a Fox. The Packers are the reason why in my hometown of Atlanta, Channel 5, which is a very established station, is a Fox affiliate. Same thing.
My favorite network to watch sport network. I'm not talking locally. I'm saying network is CBS.
Yeah.
I think CBS, I love their presentation of their pregame shows. I like the presentation of game days with Nance and all that.
Yeah.
And, some people look down. I mean, Nance is just so well. I don't think people don't realize how prepared Nance is.
Oh, for
Nance
sure.
Went from the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago to doing the Pebble Beach golf this past weekend. And he sounded like he had been doing golf all season long.
Seamless.
Yeah,
absolutely seamless.
Yes.
And one of the best dudes, too. We ran into him at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And he... Here's the crazy thing. My buddies who are with me, Scott Grotsky, who you know, and Kyle is a photographer, swear that he called me by name. I didn't hear it. They're like, he said, "Hey, Kevin." And I'm like, it's possible because Nance was in Houston when I was in Houston, right? He's from Houston. So we did some stuff together. But I mean, my hair was jet black then. It's not anymore. Like, I'm not the same guy.
You know? No.
There's no way.
You look a little more tanned back then because you were living down south.
Oh, yeah.
You looked a little darker back then.
Oh, much. Yeah.
Like you had a year-round tan.
Yeah. And
you can't lose your tan down there.
No, because it's...
sunny.
Yeah, it's like 1 week of winter and 3 days of spring.
When you're on the sidelines for an SEC game, man, you're getting a suntan down there. We're freezing our ass up here, but the sun is beating down with you down there.
Yeah, you go October, November, you still have like real legitimate sun beating down on you.
Yeah,
What happened to us, Ryan? Where'd we go?
Horvat is in the three hole today.
Yep.
Right there.
Back in third, yep.
Yes, right there behind the mic, running the board.
I met Jim Nance.
Really?
You did?
I covered, the first NCAA tournament that ever took place in Des Moines, Iowa, I covered it for my little small radio station in Creston, Iowa, and I went there.
And when would that been?
That was 3 years ago, I think. Three to 4 years ago,
okay.
Can't remember. I remember I did the Kentucky game, and Tyler Ulis was the point guard, so whenever that was.
Okay.
I went in there, and Jim Nance was there. I never really go up to guys. I just, especially at that time, you're kind of nervous because you're just getting in the business, but Nance was there, and he was with Grant Hill, and Tracy Wolfson was there, who I love her, too.
Yeah.
So I was
she's
like,
kind of got the RBF thing going.
Yeah, I don't know. I like her work until the Super Bowl when they put her in that really uncomfortable position. Then I just felt really bad.
Well, like when she was, it seems like Wolfson's got a difficult time trying to be friendly or try to be happy or just trying to, she's always in serious mode.
She's so little and she has to interview these 6'6", 6'7" dudes. And so she's like just trying to, I get why she's feisty, man.
Well, but she's kind of got that cold look to her. And when she was like doing the halftime, like a couple of years ago, she was doing the halftime competition where the Dr. Pepper throw the ball through the, throw the football through the hole.
Yeah, the moving targets.
Okay,
and
she was trying to be. You could just tell she was out of her element. That was just not her to be. Oh, here we are now. That just wasn't her game, and she doesn't do it anymore.
Well, she works year round. She has a family and kids. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
But anyway, I met. So
but it's just personal
Jim,
yeah, go ahead.
I had to go up to him. I introduced myself. And like Kevin said, he's one of those guys that when you meet him, he uses your name when he's talking to you. Like, well, Ryan, I'll tell you this, Ryan. He was showing me how he prepares. And he kind of went through how he... I had to know his process because I'm really into that. Like I told you, Kevin, like when you call the games, do the play-by-play.
Yeah.
I just like to know the process, like your board and how you get things ready. He showed me. He gets there, a couple days early. He goes to all the practices, everything that he can. He kind of just writes down notes. But he gets to the game like 2-3 hours early, 4 hours early, and he's there and he's just working on all these little notes and putting his board together. It was really cool. Nice guy. Likes himself a lot.
Jim Nance?
Yeah.
Well, he does. You could tell on his broadcast that Jim Nance puts a lot into it.
He loves him some Jim Nance.
He does.
Yeah. But like every player from a tournament, he gives him his tie, like the most valuable player.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear that story?
No.
Yeah, the MVP of the NCAA tournament. He'll always go and he'll give him his tie, like, hi, I'm Jim Nance. Here's my tie. It's just kind of a funny story.
You know what? Nance has earned this. He's earned all this because there's a reason why he's the number one guy. He's earned it. Jim Nance has looked the same forever.
Yeah.
But his preparation, I think, is fantastic. And no matter what he does. So I've always said broadcasters are a personal appeal guys, but Nance is one of those guys I just have a lot of respect for the way he handles himself.
And the other thing that he does really well, and I don't think I grasped this until we got back from Super Bowl 53, which he did with Romo on CBS. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and on NFL Network was Super Bowl 44.
Oh, yeah.
Saints and Colts. And he's doing that one with Chris Sims, with Phil Sims. I do that a lot. And Nance is just as comfortable and brings out the best in Sims that he does in Romo, that mm-hmm. he does in just about everybody he works with. And that's a sign of a true professional, that Nance doesn't change who he is, but he can sort of wrap himself around the situation and make the guy next to him better.
Yeah. I mean, he was on the set last week, and he was with, it was himself, and I forget his who his color guy is for golf, his analyst, color analyst.
I wish it was Faraday, but it's not.
Well, no. But Clint Eastwood was on the set with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eastwood is, you know, he's not the Clint Eastwood of, you know, 50 years ago. Who is? But, you know, he's making that work. He's making Eastwood work on the set. And Eastwood's not a sports broadcaster, but Eastwood comes on the set, and Nance is somehow able to work that out with Eastwood.
Yeah, he's conversational. He's comfortable.
Yes.
You feel like, and that's part of the reason why you can go from the biggest, you know, most intense sporting event in the world to Pebble Beach, which is fun and
sure.
relaxation and whatever. And he sounds just as natural. His style just fits everything from left to right. It's unappreciated. Not unappreciated, underappreciated.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I was thinking about this. If Nance somehow ever left CBS, okay, who would be the number one guy? I'm an Ian Eagle guy.
Yeah.
Ian has been on the show. I've known Ian from when he was with WFAN. I used to do some work for them covering Packer games, and he was doing Jets pregame, and I would come on his I'd come on his pregame show,
yeah.
Ian Eagle, and then he later became the team broadcaster. Then he's moved on, and he's the Nets broadcaster. Ian is a pro's pro. His son is coming up in the ranks now too.
Is he?
Yeah, his son was just getting out of Syracuse, which is the broadcasting hub. So, but Ian. Could Ian Eagle ever be that number one guy?
I don't see why not. I mean, if Nance goes,
or
then
who
there's some other, you know, reason that's probably unfortunate if that happens. But Ian Eagle would be a nice, steady replacement as a number one.
Yeah.
I think he'd be the guy for me. I mean, they have some other folks on CBS that I like, but I think they also slot into stuff, right?
Yeah.
You have a guy who can do the NCAA tournament and sound good doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You have your pairing that does SEC football. Those are segmented things. Ian Eagle's the guy I think who could arch over the whole
yes,
thing.
Yes, and Ian is he's terrific. I mean, he does radio, he does TV. I like him. Well, the NCAA tournament is coming up, and you guys are that, and that's always a big time, I know, for you guys, right?
We can't wait, man.
Because it's like a 12-hour straight, maybe more.
Yeah, those 2 days, a Thursday, Friday,
yeah.
I'm telling you, you could do a documentary about a newsroom, our newsroom, during those first 2 days of the tournament. It is fantastic.
Why is that? Do you guys even do newscasts?
We'll go in for...
Because there's games, there's nonstop games.
Yeah, so there's no, if I remember it right, there's not a newscast at noon.
Walsh has probably got his feet up on the desk there.
Well, there's where the documentary comes in, right? Because we also have a bracket challenge. So if you go in, you see every segment of the population represented, which is Walsh is sitting there and... St. Bonaventure's got a lead, and he's concerned because he's got them going this far in his bracket, and he's looking at a Vegas breakdown of odds and that sort of thing. And next to him is the one that I remember, Sachelle Saunders, who now works for a different station in town, but she was his co-anchor, mm-hmm. and she had him beat through the first two rounds of the tournament because she picked teams to wear blue or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So that's the thing that's fascinating, because those are the 2 or 3 days where the person that picks based on the team color can have a little fun with the person who picks it based on actual real scientific things.
Oh, yeah.
And so every game, everybody knows who they picked, right? That the excitement of the beginning of the tournament. Mm-hmm. So if there's a buzzer beater, Florida hits a buzzer beater, and half the newsroom goes, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they know they picked him in the bracket. But people give up after a couple of days. You don't have that same feeling in your newsroom. We don't through the Sweet 16. It's just that first couple of days.
See, to me, I love the second weekend of the NCAA tournament more so than the first weekend.
Yeah,
because
really?
I think by the time you get to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, you kind of separate the men from the boys there. You get some, I mean, on Saturday and Sunday in that second round, you might get some good matchups. And you have the upsets in the first and second round. Okay. But some of those Cinderella stories are only going so far. I mean, it's a great story for a weekend, for 3 or 4 days. But then by the time you get to Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, when you get to the regional semifinals and the regional finals, and they've only had one regional final here in Wisconsin. They had, back in 2002, I want to say, the regional finals were at the Kohl Center. It's been the only time it's ever happened. Huh. It's come to the Kohl Center once, the regional finals. Hasn't been back since. Might have been 2002. But, you know, we get the NCAA tournament at the old Bradley Center, and we get the first and second rounds all the time. But I would love to have the third and fourth rounds here.
You want to see Sweet 16 and Elite Eight?
Yeah, you get two games like on a Thursday night, and then you'd have the finals on a Saturday.
You'll see, and that's the thing, is you pretty much have two types of matchups that when you get to that time. It's either Kentucky versus Duke, or it's Kentucky versus George Mason.
See, that's right. But I love it. I'm in the minority where I like the third and fourth rounds better than the first and second. And the tournament's starting a week from, God, it's got to be like a week from this week or so. It's got to be kicking up. I think, because I take my vacation that Thursday or Friday. I think I'm like off like the 19th and 20th or 21st.
You take off?
I do.
From the first round of the tournament?
So do I.
Yeah.
What?
Every day.
The Thursday and Friday.
Since I've been born. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Every year.
You know that I would lose a limb if I tried to take a day off for the first round
of
the tournament.
I do.
There's literally no way. I mean, so we have three people, right? Someone's going to go with the Badgers. Someone's going to go with Marquette. Someone's going to have to be here to play, you know, point guy, bringing everything in.
No.
That's it. That's everybody.
What happens when you get another school in? What happens if you get a third in? You have to call
Drew Burgoyne, the weather guy, to come in.
Oh, we got to talk about that guy.
Well, you know,
he's a star.
Here's the deal, though. I'll go to the Final Four if one of our teams are in it. But first or second round, we're not, you know.
I guess it's
doesn't
not
matter.
Right. It's not.
Doesn't matter, but we're not going out on the road with those guys.
If it aired here on your channel, if you had games airing live on your channel, then I suppose it would be a different animal.
Maybe. Just radio's a little different than TV. You know, like you guys go to the Super Bowl because
it was on
CBS.
Right. That's the only reason.
I mean, we're at spring training. You know, we got guys always at spring training.
Yeah, you do. You guys are all over that.
We're going to be able to. But the first and second round of the NCAA tournament, I've taken off every year because of that. And I do. And I'll take off for those. And again, even though the third and fourth rounds are more important, I take off for that first and the Thursday, Friday just to watch games. And I kind of reset too. But I'm watching games all day.
32 games in 2 days. It's amazing. We got a lot of games to talk about here. Chuck and Winkler. Kevin Holden sitting in for Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. It's Ryan Horvat. It's Horvat. Why do I keep saying Horvat?
Horvat. Chuck calls me Horvat, so it's probably going to rub off.
What is it again? The producer's name, I always get their last name
Horvat.
Wrong.
Like
Horvat.
Vat. Yeah.
Like when Ross and Friends
it's Horvat?
Like,
Vat.
Vat.
Yeah.
Vat.
It's Slovenian.
I will.
Is this?
Yeah.
Nice.
I awesome. Might figure that out sometime. Okay. I will try to.
You could just go Ryan. You could call me Gillespie.
I'm a last name guy.
That's my mom's maiden name. Oh. It's easy for Chuck.
Because his little history on Horvat? Horvat. Horvat.
Guy's known me for like 2 years now.
Horvat.
Yeah.
Horvat's last name. He comes from the Gillespie tree.
Okay.
And the Gillespie tree is, Horvat can explain that a little bit. Earl Gillespie, who you probably never even met, right?
No, we've went over this. I've met him, yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, it's my grandpa's brother.
Okay.
Okay.
He was the voice of the Braves.
Yeah.
Did Channel 6 here. We talk about sportscasters in the state of Wisconsin. Earl Gillespie is on that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, he's second behind myself.
And then son, John.
First spot. You're the Washington.
I'm the lead now.
Yeah. The son, John, who I knew, used to work at Channel 4 and, you know, still does, I think, the fishing stuff. I haven't seen John in a long time.
You could see him every, Saturday morning on his boat fishing, though?
Yeah, but he used to,
John Gillespie's.
Earl did a show, fishing show, too, back in the day called Earl Goes Fishing,
yeah.
Which was on Channel 6. But, okay, let's take enough of that. Let's take a break.
Horvat, Freeman, holding in for Winkler. Chuck and Winkler next. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins from the Bryan and Stratton Athletic Studio. I'm Kevin Holden, CBS 58, sitting in for Bart. A little 3-day weekend. Call that a Freeman special. Isn't it? That's what you do that, Freems, right? You like
What's
to
that?
Take the 3-day weekends.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get criticized.
I was going to say Kevin.
Endlessly.
I don't know if we want to go
hit the
there.
Because you know what? It's like I save all my vacation time usually for the summertime because I like to golf, three or 4-day weekends golfing. And so if I save it all until then, so it makes it look like I take a lot of vacation time.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, more than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I've been here for 10 years.
But you get that. In other words, you get this, oh, well, he just had a 3-day and he's getting another 3-day. But they don't realize someone else takes a week. You didn't take that week.
I don't take that week, and I store it up like every 2 weeks during the summertime. I'll take a day or two off because I like to go out of town, golf, and do stuff like that. And, you know, it makes it look like I'm always off, but that's just...
Just you know? How you schedule your vacation. Yeah, I'm actually in his corner on this one.
I'm not scheduling vacation in February. What am I going to do in February?
Yeah.
You know, those 2 days in March, the NCAA tournament, January, I'm. But during the football season, I'm not going to schedule time off because we're here for Packer football. You know, October, the Brewers in the postseason.
Sure.
I'm not going to take any time off. September, football starting up, no.
You're not going to in April or May because summertime
is
in the playoffs.
Summertime is the best.
Yeah.
To do it, and so that's the, you know, that's when I do it. You know, I'm not one of those guys who likes to take a whole week off of vacation anyway, because I feel like, and I've said this before, if you leave a week, if you're gone for a whole week and you come back, I feel like I'm like forgot everything.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't do it.
Yeah,
if you leave a whole week, if you're gone for a whole week, and I've done it, I've gone for 5 or 6 days, but you feel like when you come back to the radio station. And especially if you're out of town, you come back, you're like, oh, my God. You know, you're following the teams when you're away, but still you feel like you're out of sync.
Well, because you come in and things have happened over the course of a week, and if you haven't been here to see it, you have to kind of catch up on what's happened inside your own building. That's something that happens to me. I mean, I go through something similar, Freems.
What's that?
Well,
you guys go to Iceland on vacation for a weekend.
Because what'll happen is I find... flight deals. That's my job. I fly in flight deals. That's my role. And so sometimes we'll tailor some stuff to the role. So when the Packers didn't make the playoffs, the first thing my wife said is, let's go somewhere. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go see. So we found these dates where there was a $93 each way flight to Cancun. And we're like, well, we got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. And it was, you get back and it's like, huh, look who's always out of town.
Don't you hate that?
And I was handcuffed to the desk from the first day of training camp until the end of Packer season.
Yeah.
Handcuffed. I didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't leave my house. But then we went to Cancun for 5 days and it was like, who's always out of town.
And you know, they might be joking, but Dan Patrick once told me, he said, there's always a little seriousness in every little bit of joking.
Yeah. There is a little, and again, it goes back to flight deals because it's kind of like people's Facebook pages, social media pages. You ever heard the thing that, like, you can't judge someone's life based on their Facebook page because you will post all these happy moments, you with friends, you at a party, whatever. And it makes it look like you lead a different life than you actually lead. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, that's when I post on social media, Cancun, whatever. And everybody's like, well, you're always out of town. You know.
Yeah, you're not posting a picture of you at the desk anchored with a chain around the desk.
Which was literally the entire fall.
It is it.
And it's, you know, I'm not, you know, I love this job. You love your job.
Sure.
It's not that. It's just that, you know, when it's time, you have off time that's allotted. And
It is.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, what you like to do, which I'm not a big fan of, is you fly an extraordinary, you know, you fly more than anybody I know.
Yeah, it's probably true.
And here's what I love going on vacation. I do love going out of town, but flying today makes it, I mean, if we're going to go out of town, if I'm going to go to, let's say, Denver for the weekend, great. I'm excited about going to Denver. It's the flight part because I hate going through the TSAs and the whole process of flying, I hate. Once I'm out there, I'm great.
Yeah.
But the idea of, okay, I was out in Scottsdale, Arizona on a Sunday, and, you know, you're golfing, you're having a great time, and then Sunday night, time to get on this flight. And it's a whole process, dropping the rental car off and, you know, taking the shuttle to here and got to go here and got to go through TSA and you got to go and get your, you know, checked out and all that through TSA and they inspect everything and they got to throw certain stuff out. And then sometimes a plane is delayed. That whole process of flying absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
And that's a turnoff for traveling out of state for me.
Yeah. Now, and it's one of those things, too, where it's not like you have a ton of experience flying through Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do it when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a couple of times tops. So you don't know that there are certain pitfalls. Some airports that are worse and some that are better and some you need more time through. Like Orlando is a disaster.
Awesome.
Orlando is
awful.
Always a disaster.
Awful.
But if you don't know that, you might show up too late, miss your flight.
Yeah. And there's been times, okay, now Milwaukee, the airport there is easy to, people always say it's easy to get to it. It is. But there's been times when, I remember 2011, when we had to go down to St. Louis for the postseason, when the Brewers were playing the Cardinals, or one time showing up there, you know, an hour and a half, hour 45 for a 6 a.m. flight on game day, and the line was extraordinary. Right. I was hustling.
Yeah.
Hustling.
And you know Freem's hustling is something to watch.
I was doing the 40, I was doing the 400-yard dash to my gate because it was, you know, the TSA line was so long, I barely made it. Made it within like 30 seconds, she said.
Funny thing was,
it was my flight.
So it's a buck and a half, buck 45 to get there. There's the flight. There's the getting your luggage and all that stuff. And it makes you wonder for a thing like St. Louis, should have just driven it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's it. I mean,
sometimes.
like Indianapolis.
When the I would drive that.
Yeah, I did. I did in 2015 when the Final Four was there with Wisconsin. I drove it. It was like I checked out flights, and I was like, man, I'm going to drive it. The tough part is driving around Chicago, depending on the time of day.
Right.
I did it on a Friday night, and I had no problem. Drove to Lafayette, stayed there overnight, and then went down to Indianapolis for the game the next day on a Saturday. But, yeah, I would rather, like going to the Twin Cities. Okay, if I'm going to the Twin Cities, it's a 5.5-hour trip or so, depending on what's going on. I would just rather drive it.
Detroit?
I've never driven to Detroit. Well, actually, you know what? I did once. WrestleMania 3 in 1987, but that was as a fan.
The Silverdome in Pontiac,
I did.
Michigan.
Yes.
I've been to Detroit. I drove to Detroit.
How long did that take?
It took me about 6 hours, I think. Six
okay.
and a half.
Because you got to go through Chicago again.
Yeah, you got to go through Chicago. I got to Detroit, and I was like, why does Detroit get such a bad deal? I mean, it's a nice place. It looks great downtown. And then I drove a little bit further, and there was like a guy picking out of the garbage can. I was like, yeah, maybe I'll just go back home.
Yeah, certain. I've flown there to cover college basketball when I did UW Green Bay. Detroit was in our conference.
Yeah.
Still is. I'd fly over there. We go to Callahan Hall and where Detroit Mercy plays. And, man, it's just at a tough area.
It is.
Yeah, just at a tough area.
We drove to Canada, actually, from Detroit when we went there. We went there for work, and we were like, man, Canada's only like an hour and 40 minutes away, and everybody had their passport, so we just made the trip and went to Canada.
Like Windsor.
Did you go across to Windsor, just across the bridge?
Yeah, just across, right.
So, and the crazy thing about that is, geography nerd takes over, you drive south to go into Canada.
Isn't that amazing?
I couldn't believe it, though. I was only like 21, 22 at the time. We went for a bachelor party and like also to work. We were doing like this like vendor ship that a couple of my buddies got on in college, like where we would go work at a bar and just hand out like shots.
Mm-hmm.
We'd make like 300, 400 bucks for the night.
Yeah, man.
We just got on it through some agency. It sounds weird, but it wasn't. Just got paid, and then we were like, hey, we got a bachelor party. You know, one of our buddies was getting married way too young. And then we were like, let's go out to Canada.
Still married?
Yeah, he's actually still married.
Really? How old was he when he got married?
22. He's got.
Oh God.
He has six kids. All daughters.
Six kids?
All daughters. It's like Philip Rivers. Yeah, he had twins.
Oh, man.
The guy, he's got no life.
No, actually, you know what? He's got a better life than me. He goes on vacation like twice. He's always in the Vegas trip, like which I've been excluded from.
How can he go on vacation when you have six kids?
Right, that's a high body count, man.
And he golfs nonstop.
Oh, how do you get that done? Even
and he goes and he plays in the World Series of poker. Yeah, I mean he's like an engineer too, so he's just raking in cash. Exactly.
That's what I wonder. Like, where does that money flow come in?
But ultimately, you got six kids, so you gotta be around them.
Right.
You just can't ditch them and go to the golf course.
They caddy for him or something. I don't know.
Six kids. That's a lot piling in a cart.
It is. I don't know how he does it, to tell you the truth. Well, I have one, and it's tough enough.
All right. Let's take a break here. Let's talk some NBA and the Bucks. And I want to get your take on a few things, Holdy. The All-Star weekend is coming up. I'm not a big fan of the All-Star game, but in this case, I am. To see Giannis and see Team Giannis.
Team Giannis.
That'll be fun.
That you have a captain of the All-Star game.
Yes. I'm more into the, let's say, not the buildup, the idea of going to an All-Star game and being everything evolved. I mean, this is such a, I mean, it's a nationally broadcast game. It's cool. The game itself is not basketball, But everything surrounding the All-Star game, I think, is kind of cool.
Makes sense. All right, so
we'll get that at next.
On the other other side of the break here, this is Chuck and Winkler. Back in a moment. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bart is out. Kevin Holden, CBS 58, stepping in. Freems is glued to his chair. He's not going anywhere.
Today, I'm not.
No. No, it's February.
No.
You're not going anywhere.
At 10:02, I'm going to go get a little workout in today to keep my thing going.
Are you?
Yeah, he's been doing good.
All right, so
yeah.
I really hate to do this because we've literally not gone to sports yet.
But oh, it's okay.
No, right. We have. We've talked about sports. Talk about Jim Nantz for 10 minutes.
What's been your thing with the work? Because this is kind of a thing for me right now. What's been the key to success of your workout here?
Just consistency.
I mean, are you a weights guy? Are you a cardio guy? Are you doing some
treadmill?
Kind of,
run on the treadmill.
Run on that treadmill, man.
Here's the deal. I got back from the cover the baseball playoffs. You know, as you know, we're in Los Angeles and you're eating those Dodger dogs. You know, we're covering a team and you're going on the road. You're eating. Airports, eating bad food and all that. So there was a month stretch where I just put on the weight because I just wasn't working out. I wasn't golfing. It was October was a tough month, man, as far as the diet. So I came back, stepped on the scale, said, oh my God, okay.
It'll happen.
So I stopped desserts. I stopped everything on October 22nd, the Monday after the Brewers lost in game 7 to the Dodgers. On Saturday night and Monday, weighed myself. And then since then, scale back, and then I dropped 20 pounds.
You're down 20?
Well, I'm down even further than that now. I'm down like 28. I mean, I was really heavy.
I'm down 35 myself.
You are not.
I swear to Christ.
Seriously?
No way.
I swear to God.
35 cents win.
How?
I weighed myself in last night. Last year, at this time, I weighed 195.
I don't buy that for
a minute.
I don't
scale,
right? No, I really, I was.
Because you're a smaller guy.
Yeah, my face was even fat. I was like you. I mean, I started working here and I was covering Brewers games and I'm going and I'm eating, yeah. You know, and I'm going over and sneaking out to the concessions and I was just eating nonstop and I wasn't getting to the gym because I was working post game. So I was here, you know, a lot until like midnight, 1 a.m. And then you wake up, you don't want to go to the gym because you're back working in 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
And so I gained a lot of weight. My face was just fat.
Okay. So you're down 35?
I weighed myself last night.
35? I don't remember that.
I ate pizza last night, so I got to check it out. I weigh 155 right now.
Okay. Wow. That's
155.
Down 70. I was probably fourth grade in 155.
No.
Yeah, me too. What? Now, okay, so what about you then? What's your, you know?
I'm weights. I do a lot of weights. What I do is I go to the gym. I do a half hour on the treadmill. I just put the incline all the way up to like 15.
Yeah.
I do it for a half hour, listen to some podcasts, and then I go do like 45 minutes, an hour of weights.
Yeah. See, I'll do 40 minutes of cardio, and then I'll do some stretching out a little bit there. But I want to probably get back into the weights after golf. That's an off, because I do so much golf during the summer and spring, so I don't want to be weightlifting during then. But I'll do it in the off season. But I lost 28, but I'm still trying it. But that's how much overweight I was. I'm trying to get down. My playing weight's about 225. So I'm about 238 right now, 237.
You're in range, dude. You can see it.
Yeah, but here's what I did. I took it to a next level. The day after the Super Bowl, after Bill Michaels' Super Bowl party, I cut out soda and I cut out chips and salsa. I'm doing a 6-week run right up to the NCAA tournament. Of 6 weeks, and I'm on week 2 right here, where desserts, nothing. It is hardcore.
Yeah, sugar and salt are the devil. You stay away from sugar and salt, and you're fine.
I've also gone a little gluten-free.
Wow.
I need the bread, or I get angry.
But see, the bread, I haven't had a sandwich since Thanksgiving.
Wow!
I haven't had toast since Thanksgiving. No, really, man. I've stayed away from beer. It's been gluten-free, and it's helped. I mean, I just feel better.
I'm fascinated.
But I try to cut a little bit more of the carbs too, but then since the Monday after the Super Bowl, I've lost 5 or 6 pounds because I plateaued and then I needed to do something else just to take off that extra weight.
So you stuck it in another gear here and you dropped another 5
or
6.
Yeah. So we'll see. So the day after Selection Sunday is when I'm hoping to get down to by 227 or so.
I thought I was going to come in here with the best story of the three. Mine's the worst story of the three.
You're not going the other way.
No, I'm not going the other way, but. I've always been, my entire life, I've been not anti-weights, I guess anti-weights for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason my, rationale for it is, I'm, as Cartman would say, I'm big boned, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't want anything to add girth. So I've never done, if I've ever done any kind of weight loss, it's always been diet and cardio. That's it. And it's where your boy Drew Burgoyne comes in.
I saw you working out with him.
Yeah. He's Facebook. Incredible. Like, I did not know. Mm-hmm. I did not know. And I was like, hey, can you help me with something? He's like, yeah, whatever. And he shows up the first day. He's like, okay. Takes off his coat. We'll do this. And I'm like, what is that under this runner's body? He's yoked, yeah. Dude. Mm-hmm. He's freaking yoked. So anyway, yeah. So I've been doing the weights thing for the first time ever in my life.
Yeah. Were you sore?
Oh, God. Like, just dead for the first, like,
and a part of doing this job, because we're visible, you don't want someone to say, oh, my God. I hear you on the radio. Man, you're a fat slob compared to what I thought you were.
You don't look anything like I expected.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't want that. So, and then we do a lot of video, and I've done some TV, so you don't want to, being way sloppy fat or anything like that is out of the question.
So me having hit these weights for the first time, and I'm getting that testosterone from it, like wanting to go through walls, right?
Because
it's crazy. And I've lost, like, I don't know, 8 or 9, not much, but I've added a little bit of muscle, and I thought I was going to come in and be all whatever, and now I'm, like, by far the third best story of this whole thing.
Well, the deal is, if you start weightlifting, like, the first day you start weightlifting again, if you have done it for a while, you'll be sore for the next 6 days.
Yep.
Yeah.
You won't be able to move a part of your body. So that's the worst part about getting back into weight training again.
I just didn't know. I always thought it was an energy inactivity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People are always like, I'm going to go work out. And they do the weights thing. And my understanding of it was that it was an all in. You didn't get anything really out unless you really were dedicated to it for a long, long time. And so then maybe you get muscle out of it, whatever.
Yeah.
But I did not realize it is an energy in and energy out activity. You put something in, but you get something instant out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't sleep for a couple of weeks because I was so wired.
Okay.
From it. I just, the difference in everything that was getting activated in me, I was running around like crazy.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, some people just enjoy going to work out. Some people just love it. Some guys are just like, oh, I can't wait to get this workout in.
That's me.
I do now.
Well, I'm dreading it. I'm like, today, it's over my head. Oh, God, I got to go work out today.
Oh,
it sucks. But then once I'm done, I feel like I can kick ass and conquer the world. But going into it, it's like I'm dreading it. Playing sports and all that, that's not really working out, okay? If I'm going to play some basketball or golf or whatever, that's not working out. But going there and running for 45 minutes on the treadmill is like, oh, God, I'm just not looking forward to that part of my day.
Yeah.
But once I get by that, it's all good because you get that terrific high afterwards and you feel good.
You have the muscle that derails like 90% of these plans is the one between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that like in your case, you haven't overcome that when you get on, on the treadmill, you have to make yourself do it. I had to put myself in a mindset where I could go in there, especially having never done it before.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was going to do something dumb.
Like, what'd you do?
No, well, I've done a lot of fairly dumb things.
What's the dumbest thing you did? Like when you went into, was there anything like you're like, I don't know how this works, I'm just going to give it a shot.
Oh yeah, no, there was a lot of that.
Love those videos.
Did you hurt yourself?
No, I do have a thumb. I actually have the same thing that Ryan Braun has. I found out the thumb condition.
You got to have surgery every 3 weeks.
So and
knew that was coming.
I don't make $1 billion. So I don't get to use free weights very much because that right thumb literally, like if I put a bar on it, it hurts like crazy. But anyway, there've been some pretty bad moments. Drew showed me everything.
Yeah.
And then the first day he wasn't there, I was like a 6-year-old. I was lost and I was texting him like, where is this machine? You showed me this. I can't find it. I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, you're good. Like,
relax.
Look for this. You'll find it or whatever. Yeah, I was for about a week. I was pretty bad. I was
so
like
you're on
kid.
A weightlifting binge here. You're trying to lose weight, or you're trying to do what?
Well, this is
just getting better shape.
Instead of it being a pounds thing, it's just it's just going to be a weightlifting thing. I mean that you
with cardio in there.
I do high intensity cardio. Are you familiar?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Yes. Minute 15 at one, 45 seconds at the other.
Incline,
the best way to burn.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm doing.
I'm putting this on myself from here. When we come back, we are going to talk NBA.
Yeah.
Because I have been the derailer for 50 minutes.
No, it's me.
I'm putting us back on track.
It's Friday. It is. It is.
No Bart. I mean, this is on the substitute teacher. Right?
We've been talking about that. We're going to get to the NBA All-Star game.
Yes.
And, we could break down the skills competition if you want, but who cares?
Oh, well, see, and there's your topic. You just hit it.
You know, the Middleton topic, that always comes up here on the show and everywhere. So we'll get to, we can talk about Giannis being in the All-Star game and how cool that is. Giannis is still in town, and I'll tell you where he's going to be tonight.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
all right,
that.
That's a tease.
That's, so, no, I want to get to that right now. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan, from the Bryant and Stratton Athletic Studio. Freems, before we get into the skills competition, Middleton's in the three-point, we have Team Giannis this weekend. We can do that here in the next hour of the show. But I hear that you are always willing to offer up an opinion on Chris Middleton's future with the Bucks,
which we do a lot here on the show. It seems to be, well, I mean, it just always turns into that. Whatever direction, we could be talking about the Brewer backup catcher spot, and somehow it'll turn into Chris Middleton.
This is true.
Everything becomes Chris Middleton.
What did you want to know about Middleton?
Well, I want to know your thoughts. What would you do with him in the offseason?
I wouldn't give him the max money.
No?
But here's more importantly what I really want to do with Middleton. I want to play out this whole stretch of season. Because, as I tell Bart, what KD said, Kevin Durant last week, when he said to the media out in San Francisco, out in Oakland, that you know, he's tired of being asked questions about his free agency, and I didn't blame him. I know KD has got a little sensitive side to him, and he gets oversensitive sometimes. But, you know, for KD to talk about what he's going to do next year or where he's going to play, I feel like the media gets so bored, and we get so bored of the NBA, that moving guys all around like a fantasy football team is even more enjoyable than watching the game for some people. A year ago this time, if you went to the major websites, that's ever talk about, oh, LeBron has hinted that he wants to play here, or this guy, or play with this guy, and he's done all this. And it's like, man, the season is still yet to be played. But I'm really feeling, guys, that there is more, people like more about trading these guys, where these guys are going to sign, and moving these players around like a fantasy basketball team than the actual play in the court.
Interesting. And it's because the NBA is a league of focal points. It's a league of, like, you know, when it was Miami and it was the Heatles, right? It was the, you know, the big three there. And then, you know, Golden State got their super team, and this goes on. And it's, I think it's more of interest here locally because Milwaukee has a chance to kind of be a place. Like, Anthony Davis was a guy that we talked about as a legitimate possible option, however you feel about it. Those words, Anthony Davis and Milwaukee, were in the same sentence. That would never have happened. Yep. For the last 20 years.
And and the Bucks haven't done anything yet, but I do think, and I've been around the Bucks organization my entire life. I've seen this organization change in many different ways.
Yeah.
From Herb Cole and the way he ran things and the way he ran that front office and how certain guys in the front office shouldn't have stayed as long as they were, from guys who were in the media relations department back in the day. And I'm talking about the 80s. Okay.
Oh, okay. Way back.
Yeah. Oh, God. They had a guy who was a media relations guy who was just terrible, who didn't want people to cover the team. Finally, George Karl got rid of him. Okay.
He was excuse me. He was media relations.
Media relations
but he
guy.
Was basically didn't want you there.
No. He'd make it difficult. He would make it difficult. Imagine that. His last name was King. And he made it difficult for people to cover games.
How
what?
Is this possible?
You'd call up and, you know, say, yeah, I'm coming down to Sunday's game, and you'd go there, and it'd be a hassle. And it turned a lot of people off in the media. It turned a lot of people off in the media in this town of the Milwaukee Bucks because of the way this guy was handling things. And it's not that way anymore.
No.
It's not that way anymore at the media relations department, the Bucks. But it was that way in the 80s for sure, because there was another guy, and Herb Cole wouldn't do anything about it. And finally, George Karl got word of it, where nationally televised, people from national television didn't want to come here. They told George, well, how come you're not coming to our games? George would ask, why aren't you coming to games? Well, this guy's running your PR department. He's, you know, he's giving us a hard time every time with cameras and stuff like that. And, you know, so
it's
George, you know, swung his axe a little bit.
Good.
Yeah, it was the best thing that George did.
Wow.
And now, you know, this media, like, covering the team again.
Okay, so I had to get your thoughts there on Middleton. And
okay,
and
but Middleton, he should, I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think so?
$30 million?
Well, 30 be a lot.
Okay, who's going to give him, who's going to give him a max deal?
Now we're doing this, you know, right?
Yeah, honestly,
I put him in the rabbit hole.
But who's going to give Middleton a max deal? But my attitude on this, guys, is this, and Horvat knows this, that I just want to play out the rest of the regular season, enjoy this season, man. Yeah. We're going to be going maybe till June.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So I don't want to do a and when Giannis, when his turn comes up next, I don't want to, as a guy in the media here, I don't want to be badgering Giannis every day. Oh, Giannis, he's staying. Oh, there he is. He's talking to Russell Westbrook. Oh, God, could Russell be talking to him about joining him or joining a super? I don't want to be doing any of that
stuff. Hey, let me remind you that Scottie Pippen wanted a max deal at one time, and the Bulls didn't want to give it to him, and then it ended up breaking up a Bulls dynasty that probably could have won two more titles because Jordan said you're either going to pay Pippen and you're going to keep Phil, and Reinsdorf didn't want to do it.
Well, you're talking about...
what if Giannis is like, keep Chris, we're not getting anybody else here. Pay him the max money. I'm signing my $239 million.
Well, if he does that, but Mike, I
you don't think he would, though?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think... You know, I mean, Giannis, you know, he's a loyal guy, obviously. But I don't... The organization has been very... Now, Giannis has been great for the organization, but the organization has shown a lot of commitment to him, too.
Mm-hmm.
They've been from the day he was drafted, okay? And that's why he likes it here, because the organization has been very good to him. And he's been, in turn, he's been great for the organization, too. So that really is a two-way street. And so I think he does have some loyalty to the Bucks, given the fact that they've done a lot of things for him, too.
I think Middleton has a lot of loyalty to the Bucks. I think this year proves that this is a contract year, and he's taken like 8 to 10 field goal attempts in some games. I mean, well, he's taken a back seat and playing into that system. We saw it ever since he got benched. That's the one thing I could say about him. It's contract year, and there's a game, you know, where he's going 5 of 10 from the floor. He's got those stinkers where he's 2 of 12.
But he's never been the number one option.
Right. But I think, let's say New York loses out on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, then they got a bunch of money to throw around. You got to fill seats somehow. So,
well, Middleton isn't a draw in New York.
Well, that's true.
He's not. I mean, who's going to draw in New York? Kevin Durant. All right. LeBron, obviously.
Kyrie.
Kyrie.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the draws. If they sign Middleton, our sister station, WFAN in New York, they'd be all over the Knicks. And fans in New York would be all over if one of their big free agent signings, nothing against Chris, but they're looking to sign the upper tier guys with the salary cap that the Knicks have created. So we'll talk more about this after the break.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of Bucks to talk about. It's NBA All-Star Weekend, and the Bucks are involved in it. Middleton, three-point shooting contest. Team Giannis taking the court on Sunday in Charlotte. Got a lot more to go over there from All-Star Weekend. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.